On the show today, we have new data securities. Robert Capps back on the show talking about companies losing more than $1.6 billion due to credit card application fraud. So what's going on here? And we'll find out in this episode. Check it out. I got a press release from you guys saying companies lost more than $1.6 billion. That's billion with a B, due to credit card application fraud. I mean, what's going on here, Robert? How come we're losing all this money?
what's going on here is that the epidemic of data breach has really reached critical mass. Mm-hmm. There's so much data out there on the internet and the dark web, underground, however you want to refer to it, being traded amongst fraudsters and cyber criminals, that it's really quite simple to open up credit in a consumer's name. And to go through the process, you know, you go through, open a credit card using a consumer's legitimate identity information, right, have that card to the fraudster, and the fraudster charges it up to the max and then walks away. So this is what we consider to be identity theft. It's a rampant problem today in our electronic economy. And it doesn't look to be abating anytime soon, as long as full data about consumers is available for use on behalf of malicious actors.
Yeah. Now, you talk about like multi-pronged approaches by fraudsters. I mean, there's a myriad of ways they can get in there, but there was one that really kind of stuck out, and it's called human farm activity. Okay. What is it, and how does it work?
Well, have you ever seen a movie where they have a boiler room full of people and they're like pounding on the phones and making phone calls? Or it's roughly the same thing, where basically people are employed with their sole job of going in and opening accounts or transacting or doing, you know, putting reviews into for products, things like that. And so rather than writing a computer script that goes out and interacts with a website and does some sort of malicious act, mm-hmm, there are a lot of products, there are a lot of services that are on the market today that detect that activity, much like even NuData, the company I work for.
Right.
We have products that do this as well. What's happened is it's up the bar. And so for the fraudsters who want to get past these defenses, what they've done is they've gone out and they've hired humans in Southeast Asia, Eastern Europe, any other place that where labor is relatively inexpensive and people don't ask a lot of questions about the job they're doing. They're happy to be employed, right? They're happy to be in a living. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're acting maliciously. They're walking into an office, they're working their 8 hours or 10 hours or whatever happens. I mean, they go home to their families, right? And you know, they're manufacturing or something else. Mm-hmm. It'd be the same thing. Anyway, these people are employed to go out and create these accounts on these websites and to emulate actual human behavior because they are humans. And for the most part, for some of the more simplistic solutions out there for detecting automated activity, this sort of human farming activity goes right through the defenses. And so, what's occurred at this point is that we now have a human automation, really, automation that's human-driven, mm-hmm, actual human interactions going through the process of creating new credit applications, using those credit cards to purchase things, mm-hmm, and all those sort of things in the hope of bypassing the technological hurdles that detect the scripts that were previously used by these attackers.
Okay, well, just when we thought bots were taken over, hey, humans are back. There's jobs out there, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, these aren't the jobs that you want, but there's job. But anyway, no, I mean, that's kind of, we're being a little flip here. But so what's the solution here? I mean, how can banks and credit unions or financial institutions or anybody, how can we avoid getting caught in all this type of stuff, this big old tangled web the fraudsters are weaving?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a bunch of different things that can be done. From a consumer perspective, if your data has been breached or if you've had an account opened in your name in the past, there's something they're called a credit freeze that can be placed on your credit account or your credit file with the three major bureaus. Mm-hmm. If you have had no fraudulent activity on any of your accounts, then you have to pay for the service. You actually have to pay to turn it on.
Right.
You have to pay to turn it off each time, and it gets to be a bit of a hassle. But what essentially happens is it puts a lock on your credit file, and nobody can pull it. No one can open credit in your name while this lock is in place, unless the creditor is not looking at the credit report, and then there's a whole different issue at hand. But, it gives the consumer some control over their credit file so that it can't be, their data can't be used to open up new accounts. Mm-hmm. If you have been the victim of identity fraud in some way, shape, or form, someone's opened an account in your name or they've attempted to, a number of states in the United States allow for victims to file a police report and then take that police report to the credit bureaus and ask for free credit locking and unlocking.
Oh, okay.
And so at that point, you just basically call up an 800 number, enter a PIN, and it'll unlock your credit report for a certain period of time or for a specific creditor that you're applying for credit with, and locks it after that's all done.
Okay.
Or you can go on a website, or there's a couple other ways that can happen. It's a little more inconvenient for consumers, but it gives them some control over their credit life and their credit history because, you know, right now with all the data that's available online, it's pretty simple to open an account in someone else's name.
Oh yeah. No doubt about that. That's the scary thing. So looking at it from like a financial institution perspective, what can they do? I mean, obviously they have, you know, layers and layers of stuff, you know, for protection and stuff, but this sounds like a whole nother ball game for them. What can they do to protect their members, their customers, their folks out there, their audience?
They've got to step up the game. So it starts with the way that they're verifying new credit accounts, most specifically making sure that they've got the tools and techniques and training for their people to be looking at the accounts and looking for telltale signs of potential identity fraud. In a situation like this, that means potentially going deeper into the credit file and asking some more probing questions when accounts are look a little questionable, right? You know, the account address is different than the consumer's legitimate address on the credit file. You know, that could be an indicator that the card's being sent somewhere it shouldn't be sent, not to the consumer. Then again, if you are applying for credit after recently moving, there's legitimate reasons for that might occur.
Yeah, you're right.
And so, you know, it requires some critical thinking. It requires some process on the parts of the financial institution. For applications that are coming in through an online form, there just needs to be some additional technology and around security of those interactions to detect when automation is present. And there are a lot of products on the street that do that, and potentially detect when these human farms are present. And that's something we do quite well, of course. And you know, which is why we were talking about
this
problem.
No problem.
Absolutely. But it's important to understand that, you know, it isn't just about a plug. It's about actually doing something for security,
right, protection
of accounts and protecting consumers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for us, you know, if we can provide some help to those financial institutions, we're all for protecting their consumers and the institutions themselves. Because at the end of the day, when this fraud happens, the person or the organization who takes the loss is actually the bank. There might be a credit hit. There might be a black mark put on someone's credit report. It can be removed, but the financial losses are financial losses, and they're borne by banks.
Right.
Banks don't take losses. They pass them on to consumers as higher rates and things like that. So, you know, we all lose when a bank loses.
Yeah.
When a bank has a major, you know, multi-tens of thousands of dollar loss, they don't take that other profits. They put it right back into their cost of doing business. And
ouch.
So, yeah, right? You know, we pay higher interest rates. We pay more service fees. We pay for these losses indirectly. And if we can collaboratively solve the problem, consumers take control of the credit, banks take control of the application and onboarding process, you know, we all win at the end of the day.
Right. And to kind of wrap up here, we were talking before we started the recording, like this is fairly new. The whole
human farm
activity. Yeah, this is like something that's brand new. So it's something to really be aware of in 2017 and obviously beyond as well. So,
I mean, what's brand new about it, it's been occurring for a few years at a very, very low level.
Okay.
We're starting to see a lot more activity around this because, frankly, it's required for these fraudsters to get their schemes across. Before it was just easy. You could write a script that has a database behind it, and you could just basically all it did is automated account submission.
Okay.
And back in the day, when the defenses on those systems were weaker, that's all you needed.
That could work.
Okay. Now that the bar has been raised, and we now have a lot more technology, a lot more process in place to prevent these things from occurring. Now we're starting to see the bad guys step up their game, and they knew that this worked for more advanced security conscious organizations before. So So they just scaled it up.
It reminds me of like this marathon race, you know, between two runners, you know, they're going like, you know, it's like we're here and they're here and all of a sudden they catch up and then we're here again. It's just this constant race to stay ahead of each other.
It's an arms race. Yeah, it's definitely an arms race. As, you know, as we put up more protections, they try to overtake them. I mean, because at this point, there's a financial incentive to do it.
Oh, totally.
A financial incentive on the fraudster's part to do whatever they can to bypass whatever we put in front of them. So they can continue their operation. Yep. You know, they're a business too, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, it's no longer some random person in some basement somewhere trying to do this. Like, this is serious stuff. All right, Robert. Well, thank you so much for coming on again and talk about this stuff. I mean, it sounds like it's going to become a pretty serious problem in, you know, the coming years. So appreciate you coming on and talking about it and making all of us aware. So thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Anytime.